staff too has slammed employers for disregarding the National Minimum Wage Act and urged strict enforcement by the Department of Employment and Labour. The Union Federation rejects the proposed 28.79 hourly wage, deeming it insufficient amid soaring food, transport and electricity costs. Staff too, of course, continuing with its demand of 15,000 rand monthly living wage to counter the rising financial pressures. Joining us on the line is the national spokesperson for SAFTU, which is Newton Masuku. Newton, good morning. Thank you so much for your time.
Morning, and thanks for having me.
SAFTU's position in terms of the disregard by companies implementing the national minimum wage has been a concern that has been expressed by yourselves for quite a while. And arguably, from the perspective of at least where we sit as a country, there is a significant need for that basic minimum wage, as it currently stands at least, to be enforced and implemented.
Indeed, it undermines the whole spirit of the act itself, which intended to reduce in general the inequality in the country, also to ensure that the value that workers get for selling their labor not eroded. And therefore, if employers are undermining that, they are really creating problems, not only for the workers themselves, but also for the country as a whole, because they have implications for workers and their families.
Yeah. There's always a fascinating dynamic when the national minimum wage is spoken about, and I'm sure you've heard all the arguments already in terms of it's simply unaffordable. You know, companies need to turn a profit. That's what they're ultimately there for. If a higher minimum wage is introduced, it's going to result in further job cuts, etc., etc. I'm sure you've heard all of those arguments before. But what is your contention itself to sort of to motivate your position of not only implementing the 28.79 cents per hourly wage, but also you know, calling for a living wage of 15,000 rand per month?
Yes, indeed. As we know, workers must be able to contribute themselves if they are social, to be able to have food, shelter, clothing, and all of that. And we are saying the wages that they earn must keep pace with the ever rising cost of living. Otherwise, workers will not be able to produce themselves. And secondly, I mean, the report that was commissioned by the Minimum Wage Commission itself demonstrated indeed that the minimum wage does not have a negative impact on the economy and on jobs, and we have long said that. But third is that capitalism is based on the market, and the market presupposes demand, and demand presupposes consumers who are backed by purchasing power. And therefore, if you live in an economy that is suppressing wages, we are indirectly actually undermining growth of the economy itself, because then there's no market for goods and services that are created because workers' wages are suppressed. And this has always been a problem, one of the major problems in the economy itself, that it has been struggling with demand. And therefore, for as long as wages are suppressed, and for as long as the Department of Employment and Labor does not ensure that the act itself is enforced, we're going to continue it.
Yeah. In your view, what specific actions should the Department of Labor and Employment be taking to ensure the compliance and the implementation of the national minimum wage?
Well, the first thing we're arguing for was that the inspector rate must be increased. The number of inspectors by the Department of Employment and Labor must be increased, because the current one, the number of inspectors that they have are not adequate to be able to perform that task. But secondly, is that the Act itself provides for employers who cannot afford the minimum wage to demonstrate that indeed they cannot afford and therefore be exempted from that. And therefore, we had called this labor, for instance, that those employers that are exempted be updated on the website so that unions are able to know that which employers are exempted, and they've submitted all the paperwork to demonstrate that indeed they cannot afford it, so that it becomes easy to be able to track and monitor whether or not the minimum wage is being enforced. So there are a number of things that can be done in it to ensure that the act is enforced.
Yeah, it's also fascinating when you think of it, and from the argument that Safdie has been making around, considering the living cost in South Africa, that as it stands, 28.79 rand per hour is insufficient to be able to take care of the needs, particularly of households in which only one person, if any, is employed. There is a conversation, I guess, also to be had around coupling the implementation with creation of jobs and lowering the overall unemployment rate, which would ease, the economic positions of a majority of South Africans.
Indeed, we have always called for that. In fact, we have on numerous occasions slammed, for instance, the government's policies that it pursues in an attempt to induce growth, but we have argued that the macroeconomic policy of the country itself is not in order. The monetary policy, fiscal policy, and the industrial policy are such that employment will not be created such that they alleviate the pressure from those particular households you have referred to, where one person is the one that is working and therefore is responsible for the livelihood of all members of the family. Consider the fact that for that particular household to live, if you take as an average of four, that household needs about 5,182 to be able to live just on food alone. Then when you consider only food alone, the research has demonstrated that. Now, if you factor questions like the fact that Eskom has put proposal to NERSA that it wants to increase electricity at 36.15%, which will skyrocket the current electricity cost from 2,948 to 4,015. You can already see that that particular household will never be able to afford if it is sitting with one member of the family with working who's sitting on the minimum. So we are saying, as it stands, the minimum wage is too little, and therefore it makes it very, very difficult for the working class to survive.
Yeah. And it's also important that, as you mentioned, and as you just outlined, that we have these conversations within the context of not only, I guess, the capitalist requirements of companies turning a profit, but also from the perspective of the realities of the actual workers who ultimately end up driving those profits and drive the economy.
Indeed, but usually, that contradiction is not recognized. But even if it is not recognized, there isn't much can be done about it because it is inherent to capitalism itself. So each and every employer is hoping that the goods and services that he or she is producing must find a market, must find someone backed, a consumer backed with the purchasing power, which means wages. But that particular employer is suppressing the wages of his or his employer in the workplace itself, then attempt to cut costs so that they can increase profit. So it is the logic of the thing. The logic of the thing is such that I must lower costs so that I can be competitive in the market. And by so doing at the macro level, I'm shrinking the very market that we're supposed to absorb the goods and services that I'm producing. And that is the reason why things like the minimum wage, to legislate the floor beyond which a worker may not be paid, below each other, the worker may not be paid, is very, very key. Because if you leave it to the so-called market to set the thing, workers will really be aiming for this.
Yeah. And in many instances, the workers have no option because of the limited number of job opportunities that are around in the country. But that's perhaps a conversation for another day. For now, Newton, thank you so much for your time and your perspective this morning.
Thank you very much. Thank you.